Regular gum is boring, but Icebreaker's ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreaker's gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreaker's ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
Hello, Arlington. Guess what? I've got very good news. Harmontown is now in session. Welcome to the Arlington Draft House. Won't you please welcome the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon. Dan Harmon, he's got a camera on his head. Dan Harmon, there's a camera on his head. Dan Harmon. He got a camera on his head. You all have to sign a release form later because he has a camera on his head. He's got a camera on his head.
I got a camera on my head. But that doesn't matter because the most important 300 people are here in Arlington.
Welcome.
10 minutes from the front door of the forces that oppress us. Fuck these guys.
You mean Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, man. Aren't we like 10 minutes from the White House?
I don't know.
Yeah.
With traffic, maybe 18? There's no traffic?
You guys in this town, you want to talk about politics tonight, right? Like, no, you love it. That's why you live here. You want to talk about politics.
Are you going to wear that camera on your head the whole show?
No, once the red light goes out, it means we're out of, what do you call it, film now or footage? iCloud? Whatever's in there, it'll run out. And I'll take it off pretty soon.
Aren't you concerned about, like, brain cancer? Like, you got a thing on your head.
I'm getting kind of a high off of the reduced blood flow. It's sort of a perfect thing.
Lean forward, Dan, and show them what can only be described as a jock strap on your head. Yeah, It's like a biker's helmet without the protection and all the capacity to film your impending doom.
Let's do an experiment. Let's get Spencer out here immediately.
All right. We've never done it. Dan, we've never... Hang on, Spencer. Wait till you're... Oh, shit, Spencer! Spencer! We've never brought him up this earlier. It's like in chess, bringing the queen out too early. They warn you not to bring your queen out too early in chess, Dan.
You see a four-armed Spencer emerge from the bushes. He has an apple sweatshirt on and a full beard full of beardness. He takes his seat way too early in the show. He is Spencer. Thank you for joining us, Spencer.
Spencer.
Thanks.
Again, for those of you that possibly don't know who Spencer is. Spencer is our dungeon master we've been traveling with. At some point in the show, we play Dungeons and Dragons with Spencer, who has truly been a wonderful companion on the road.
Thank you.
And an indispensable Spencer. Dispenserable?
It doesn't matter. Avoid the...
Can I get more plosives on my poop? Papa, poop. Can we turn my mic down a bit?
Can we get a winter bock and a windscreen for Jeff?
Yeah, holy smokes. Poo. Mic check. That's better, thank you.
Harmontown is the place to be. Saw your mama with an ant and a bee. insect colony. I saw your mama motherfucker.
All right. That was just gibberish.
Confession, a couple of those last words weren't real words. But the art form of it is that's how insects talk. That was trophallaxis. It was vomit drop. Insect rap.
How about a real rap?
Here in Arlington? Oh, shit. Yo, Arlington. Yo. Place to be in a town I don't know. Fucked your mama in the rain and the snow. I'm like a mailman, do it in weathers. All, I fucked your mama with Carl Weathers.
Okay, you're not ready yet.
Let me warm up.
We just met these people.
I'm sorry. We predicted backstage, we always do this. We're like, there's a potential this will be a weird show. Like, we don't know. Like, this is a weird seating thing. For those of you in podcast land, we've got, it's a perfect storm of comfort and alienation. Yeah. We're looking at...
Everybody here is their own Captain Picard. They've all got these...
Yeah, every...
They're all in these beautiful...
That's exactly what it is.
They're all in great reclining leather thrones.
Every single audience member in the Arlington Draft House gets a fucking Enterprise bridge captain's chair.
And the
which
fear...
Which is fantastic if you're fear. Coming to see the Expendables 2. It's a great place to watch a Quentin Tarantino movie. It might be a horrible place to interact with me. Like, you guys are all... You seem more powerful to me.
Any one of you could tell us whether or not to engage at any point.
They've all engaged in baskets of fries. Like, this is the height of comfort. Literally,
people have plates in front of them, and there's just nachos and quesadillas coming out.
Plates. Plosives.
Microphone.
Quint screen. Occupation zero. P hero. Right. A little audio humor for you. Everyone is in a state of the art IKEA rolling office chair, and every two people has a wonderful formica table floated with the appetizers and beverages of their choices.
And I do feel like Dan, we might be the only comedy show to ever be the headliner for a Twilight movie.
Was anyone here? Did anyone have to come in, watch a Twilight movie, then leave and come
back? Who was here and watched Twilight and came back for us? Thank you. Thank you. Nobody.
Nice.
Thank God for that. Okay, I'm not joking. I've never seen a Twilight. I don't know what a Twilight... I mean, I know what Twilight is. I know it's the thing between light and night. But is it vampires or chupacabras or werewolves?
It's vampires.
Vampires and werewolves?
There's a few werewolves, yeah. But they're like Native Americans.
Wait, the werewolves are like Native Americans?
Yeah, they're not true. They're not afflicted by lycanthropy. They're Native Americans who are more... They can shapeshift into these CG wolf creatures. In a world where Davis has no hiding place. I don't know. Shut up.
Arlington Draft House, number one in accommodations for the talent coming through. I will say that, right? We're not going to offend anybody by saying that.
Certainly not.
We got ushered in here, and the guy whose job it is to kick your ass if you get out of line is also, he'll bring you chicken fingers. And he'll do both with equal facility, I believe, and with equal pride in his job. I kept going, like, I don't...
We were asked before the show by a lovely guy named Jesse. He's like, let me know if, like, anybody in the audience gets too wild and woolly or too interactive, you know, like, I'll take care of it. And we're like... If we call your name out, Jesse, that means...
and only if we call your name out.
Yeah.
Otherwise...
Jesse, don't... No. He's not Beetlejuice. If I say his name three times...
What if Jesse turned out to be the problem? What if as soon as he is like, okay, they started the show, and then he goes in the back, and he ties his arm off, and he, like, shoots him smack. Special security smack. It's like a little black bag that says security on it. And they... And then he's like comes out here and he's like, "Would you shut the fuck up? You're not safe enough."
Yeah. So first in accommodations of the talent, I got a belly full of deep fried chicken fingers.
This is our first show on. This is day what, 8?
Got to be something.
I think it's not day 8, but it's our 8th show, and I think in 9 days. This is our only show where we didn't have a hotel. Our tour bus is like a block and a half away, and we landed at 5:00 p.m. It's now 10 or 30 p.m. And we just like got dressed on the bus and have been wandering Columbia Pike or wherever the fuck we are. And so this is the least together you're going to see us.
Oh, Spencer. So one of the guys making the documentary, we're at this Thai food restaurant, and one of them said, "Hey, are you all right?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And I said, "Are you going to be able to Dungeon Master tonight?" And he said, "Yeah, give me the name of a monster." And someone said, "Werewolf." And he said, "Leaping from the bushes, its arms raised in aggression and protest. A werewolf started." And I was like, "Yeah, I turn it on and off."
Should we try that out right now? Let's try a couple.
Yeah.
So, Spencer, anyone from the audience, do you have a... Think of a... Not a real monster. Make up a new monster. Like something out of your own imagination. The what? The Tooth Beast. Spencer, the Tooth Beast.
You hear the gnashing and grinding of ivory against ivory.
I'm gonna fucking die. I'm gonna die.
Should I even go on at that point? Are we good?
No, you should. I mean, you could or you couldn't. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die of happiness. You hear the gnashing and meshing of ivory
Spencer,
against ivory.
I was pretty sure I loved you the moment we met you at Meltdown.
Now what do you do?
And it's grown and grown by, you know, a very, you know, logical, geometrical, you know, like line.
That's what we call a direct correlation. That's just statistics.
You're only making it more exponential. Your
curve gets parabolic as it exponentializes into the hazy mist of mathematical curvature.
As X becomes closer to Y. I don't know.
You hear the gnashing and meshing of ivory against
the
ivory?
The gnashing of ivory against ivory. It's like right off the top, like Dan and I, we both have speech impediments. Like Dan goes, I start sentences like a bunch of times, like too. Like I have a lot of.
You have the Hugh Grant. I have the Woody Allen, maybe. I don't know.
or Jimmy Stewart.
Hugh Grant versus Woody Allen.
But Spencer, you speak so distinctly. There's no stuttering. There's no ums or ers or us or whatever. It's just it's very articulate, very specific, very precise.
If you say so.
I do.
Can we unveil my partial bridge to the Chicken Noodle Dick song? I want to. I don't know if Jeff approves of it yet, but this is what I came up with.
Here I am. I ain't got a dick. I got a chicken noodle can. All my life, I've been putting this can inside my chicken noodle wife. Chicken noodle god, come down from the mountains. And chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away.
Soup to the bowl, bowl to the spoon. Spoon to the mouth, you're gonna get well soon. That's all I got. Soup to the bowl, bowl to the spoon, spoon to the mouth, you're going to get well soon.
It's not really a bridge. It's another verse.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
We need a musician to write us, like, we need to move to, like, a minor key.
I don't know what it is, nor did the people who built our nation's railroads. Like, they didn't go to music college. They went by instinct and God. Like, God went through them. When you break a man down to his fundamentals, he becomes Beethoven. Right. Like, they didn't need to know. Is it the bridge or the chorus? I don't fucking know. Like, put another fucking railroad hinge in the rail pocket.
Spencer, railroad monster.
You hear the sound of far off pistons firing. steam rises to the east. You hear the horrendous grinding of teeth, and then you see it. Half man, half locomotive, all monster.
He's fucking so good. He's so good.
Just, he's a national treasure.
He's a national treasure whose parents dropped him off at the bus.
I have a picture of Spencer and his mom and dad, and they look like our age.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And they're like older than you guys.
Yeah, barely. Your mom was in my chemistry class.
My mom's like 20 years older than you.
It doesn't matter.
What's their secret, Spencer? Why do your parents look so youthful?
They drain the souls of other people.
Spencer parent monsters.
Yeah, the parent monster.
Opening the door to your room. You quickly turn off your computer screen.
Jesus Christ. Why are we up here and why are you back there? This whole thing is backwards.
That's what I just thought. Is like tonight. That's what's important about tonight. I officially cede the show to Spencer.
Yeah, I abdicate. No longer, Jeez, yeah. Louise.
Oh man.
That's a superpower. There was a conversation on the tour bus. You know, Dan is busy, sitting in the front section, which I call the forecastle of our tour bus. The forecastle is, but it's called forecastle. Any sailors out there? Yeah, good stuff.
There's a couple of sailors. That's safe to assume. It is our nation's capital.
We're near Annapolis, Maryland. There might be some midshipmen out there, right? Anybody?
Of course, there usually is. Any bachelorette parties? No, it's Armenians.
He loves his yacht. Spencer, yacht monster.
Off the port bow. You see a spout of rising water. I don't know. That's all I got that time.
It's all right. Freestyle DMing.
I'm pretty sure that was Moby Dick, but that's still good. Yeah, you see a hump like a snow hill. There she blows, Queequeg cried.
Let me tell you about how knots work.
I know how they work. I just don't know how to tie any of them. I think they all work on the principle of making rope hard to pull.
No, he was making a joke about Moby Dick, which most of it is about the minutia of, you know, of being aboard a ship.
Yeah, read a book, people.
A literacy monster.
You see it stumbling towards you. It looks at the sign standing in front of you. It falls into the pit that was clearly labeled.
I'm going to fucking die of a goddamn pleasure attack on a stage here in Arlington. I'm going to die of happiness. I have never... We got to stop. We stop putting him on the spot.
This is where we reveal that this whole thing has been a ruse, that you and I are going to leave the stage. Like we're going to pretend like, oh, we're demoralized. We're going to leave. And then Spencer's going to leave and come out dressed like Dolly Parton, and he's going to sing a song, and you're going to find out he can tap dance, so he can do anything.
And then the usurpation will be complete.
Some Arlington facts, Jeff.
Okay, let's hear him. Dan boasts of his ability to, while he's shirking his responsibilities for his screenplays or his TV show scripts, Wikipedia is the town that we've just dropped into.
Yeah.
So let's hear what you got, Dan.
Jeff, did you know that Arlington, Virginia is the rape state? So called by Senator Joseph McCarthy in 1910. Who was then 6 years old and had been raped by his own mother. Who, let me finish, invented the typewriter. We are in a fascinating historical...
What a legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, what a career.
Virginia was the 17th state to leave the Union and the 14th state to join the Union. thereby creating a time paradox in which it fought itself in 1920, which resulted in the development of copper wire and the telephone and the typewriter and marshmallow cream and license plates. And the movie Jaws was shot here.
and the attorney...
I didn't look anything up.
And they lead the nation in eternal flame technology.
Yes. You guys... Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of... Yes. Cemetery culture here is more advanced than than ancient Maya and Aztecia combined. The word Aztecia was invented here by Carl Reiner in 1940. Thomas Edison choked to death here on a hooker. And that's where he got the idea for the flux capacitor. Virginia was originally non-Virginia. But it felt the name was too braggy. So it changed it to Virginia.
Dan, who do you like better? Virginia, West Virginia, or East Virginia?
I think all my favorites is Mega Virginia. The secret Virginia developed by NASA scientists that is in geosynchronous orbit with the other five Virginias. Watches down on all of you.
How many of you out here tonight are from Virginia?
What a question for you guys. What is Virginia? Is it a county? A state?
It's a state.
Okay.
A commonwealth.
All right. Don't get snippy. I've been everywhere. I'm like an astronaut now. I'm walking in here with a swagger. I don't even know where I am. No, we're 10 minutes from the White House. Let's scream something at him, Jeff. We're tired of your bullshit. Why is it gotta be white? Why do I have to take my shoes off every time I go through the airport? Stupid. How many 9/11s have you stopped? With shoes. With shoe absence.
Well, for all we know, 100.
Well, no, for all we know, none. We do know. Because they stop one, they go, he had a thing in his shoe! He had a thing in his shoe! They get excited about it.
But if somebody else blew up some heavy shit, they wouldn't call that a 9/11. They'd probably call it whatever date that happened on. They'd call it a 4/14 or something like
that. They'd call it either 9/12 or 10/11. Right? Wouldn't they?
What if it happened in the spring?
I don't know. Oh, September. I just got that. I just got that. I thought it was like 9/11.
You know, every day since I was like in middle school,
you've loved me.
Come to me. No, I look at the clock ever since I was very young, and I see 9/11 on a clock once or twice a day. It's constant. I can wake up out of a sleep and pick up my phone, look at it, 9/11.
No.
I see it all the time.
No.
I do.
There's an article,
I saw it today. I saw it today once.
That's a phenomenon. I read about it on the internet. It's your brain attributes significance to 9/11, and your brain works backwards and forwards.
I was in middle school way before 9/11.
You remember seeing 9/11 a lot? Before 9/11 happened?
Yeah.
No, you retroactively...
Because back then it was 911. It was the emergency call number. And I would always see 911. And it got to the point where it used to scare me, but then I would see 911. Like, if I would get into a friend's car, and I'd pop in, and I would look at their digital clock, and it would go 9/11. And I would see it, and it was like seeing the face of a friend. So now when I see it, I go like, hey, buddy. And then when 9/11 happened, that all changed, because now it's a whole different thing.
Well, moving on with our facts about Arlington... Highest probability of anyone in the audience having lost a loved one during 9/11. Yeah, we're doing bits about it. Yo, sensitive stuff. Marshmallow fluff invented in Somerville, but here's where you invented 9/11. It's a little less appetizing, a claim to fame, but you did it. Congratulations. Wisconsin, what did Wisconsin do? Shoes. I think we invented shoes. Cheese. Okay.
They invented Dan Harmon, then, nice. As this gentleman says.
All right, come on. Let's move on. Let's meet some people. Let's stir some shit up.
Yeah.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Do we have a representative of Arlington, Virginia out there? Anybody who feels that they have something to...
Do we have anybody that believes in ghosts? Isn't this a big ghost state?
Has anybody ever here had an encounter with a ghost? A real one?
Holy shit, nobody... I think we just disproved ghosts.
Yeah. Okay, get up here. Right. What's your name, sir? Adam's coming up.
We'll be with you in a second, probably, too. I thought maybe... Because we're on the East Coast, like, there's more ghosts on the East Coast.
It used to be called...
Yeah, no, it's true.
It used to be called the East Ghost. Yeah.
That's how it got its name. Adam, what tell us your ghost story.
I was like, I guess I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I was in my parents' bedroom like early on, like a Sunday morning.
That was
like,
no ghost, Adam. That's called an erection.
Yeah. It was haunting, but natural.
But I was like, I looked across the room, and all of a sudden I saw like this dark sort of like shadow figure, and I think like its head popped off and was like bouncing back and forth against
sperm.
The walls. Oh my god, I just had a realization.
Oh my god, what a breakthrough. Yeah. No, wait, I'm sorry. You saw a dark figure. You were in your parents' bedroom.
Were they there
a dark
too?
Figure coming?
Yeah, like they were. We were all in the bed together, because that's not weird.
So, but how are you? 8, 9?
I was like 8 or 9, maybe.
Yeah,
like...
I slept with my mom a lot during my parents' separation.
Did you see a dark figure enter the room?
My parents separated, and my mom moved to South Milwaukee. We never pronounced the H there, and she was living above her mom's place, my grandma, and she every night she would. I would hear her like calling on the phone to my dad and going, I don't know what's going on. And it was like emotionally, like put me in a bubble. But I remember sleeping in my mom's bed because I could have sworn my mom wanted me to. I could have sworn it was not my choice. I thought that, like, but I bet I was all fucked up too. And, but this is the most distinct emotional memory I have. My dad came over to visit my mom, they were separated. And my dad came over and he's like, I guess we're gonna go to the zoo, Tiki. That was my nickname. And
wait, sorry, what?
let's get back to that later. My nickname was Tiki. And then my mom said, "Can I talk to you alone for a second?" to my dad. And so that meant I had to leave. So I left the room, but I listened at the door because it was like. Like, what the fuck? I guess they're going to talk about me, obviously. They're not going to talk about the stock market. And my mom really threw me under the bus. Like, she went, like, I listened behind the door, and I heard my mom go, you know, this is really fucking up your son. You know, he sleeps in bed with me every night? You know that he, you know, it's traumatizing him. And I remember thinking, like, you bitch. You hit on me. You wanted it.
I feel that way about my mom sometimes, Dan.
For real?
Yeah, it's she's like she's constantly very really, really like affectionate, but almost to a point that it feels almost sexualized. It's really
or
creepy
fake
and weird.
Or fake targeted.
No, not fake.
Oh, okay. Like, are you do you have siblings?
I have one older brother, but we have different moms.
But they say there's a thing it's referred to as silent seduction, where a mother will pick one of like two or more male offspring, and that one receives all of the love, all of the affection, but also
because
all,
she wants to all of
the,
change
also all the craziness, all the anger. It's like
that's absolutely true.
So I think I had that one too. Like you're involved in an unwitting emotional kind of relationship. Like a dating relationship with this woman.
Yeah, it skeeves me out sometimes.
Yeah?
That's why I don't live
near
her anymore.
Did you get to an age when I remember being like 12 or 13 and my mom coming up behind me and kind of like giving me like a shoulder rub and kind of and then me going like, knock it off. I think that's just a puberty thing, right? Like
she was going through puberty?
No, I was. I think the reason I remember it is because I was like, I decided, okay, no more affection. Like, I don't, you know, I'm a man now. I don't want my mom.
Or did she see you going through puberty and goes, I'm going to give this
power. Hubba, hubba.
A man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. God damn it. We need more open books on this stuff. You hear me, White House?
So Adam.
Where's your committee on this shit? Stop making us take our shoes off at the airport. And start figuring out our mom's brains. Why do they want to fuck us so bad?
So, Adam, you feel like you were the lightning rod for all of your mother's like attention in that way?
Oh, and when it comes to the craziness, definitely. Like, my parents got divorced like 4 years ago, which, you know, I was surprised by. Like, it usually doesn't happen that much later in a person's life. Like, I was 21 when it happened. And basically, whenever I had
and they
to go
come
home,
to you, and you're in a bar, and your dad comes up. It's not your fault. It's important for you to know.
My dad doesn't even talk about that sort of stuff or anything real, for that matter.
I remember my dad trying to talk to me about our parents' separation, and me getting so embarrassed. I was reading a Spider-Man comic on the front seat of our station wagon, and my dad finally started to broach the subject, like way too late. Like everything was, the luggage was moved, everything was topsy turvy, and like I was reading a Spider-Man comic. I had already figured out how to deal with it, which was to shut down and become autistic. And I remember or commit to an already prevalent autism. And my dad was like driving, and he just out of nowhere was like, you know, your mother and I are going through some changes. And I was like, focus on the Spider-Man. You know, it's important for you to know it's not your fault. And it's just stumbling through this thing. And I was like, no, finish it up. Play him off. And then they're being in this pause. And they go, you know, it's just important for you to know that if you'd stop reading your fucking comic book. I got really mad. And I was like, I know. God, Jesus. I remember that moment, too. Like my dad like reaching out to me, it was just painful.
I said that let's connect here, let's look each
other
in the
eye. But
it
was too late and too artificial, too focused.
And how old were you at that point?
Probably 10, 11, yeah. Or 9, 11. Spencer, disaffected emotional parent monster encounter.
Hold up.
Trying to get her attention, your mother looks over with a lazy, glazed-over look. She seems exhausted, as if the weight of the world rested on her shoulders. You think that this might not be the best time to ask for ice cream.
I'm going to fucking die.
All right, so Adam, your ghost, the ghost. So a dark figure comes in, the head's popping about. And then moving about, right?
Yeah, it's just sort of popping about and like making this sort of hissing sound. All I can really remember is like I couldn't breathe at all.
That's
like,
a thing.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move.
Sorry, I'm stammering. But I remember being in my bed. Well, that's a thing. There's a chemical in your brain that paralyzes you when you're asleep, right? So that you don't, if you have a dream that you're like fucking a hot dog, that you don't get up and fuck a hot dog, and which won't be a hot dog, it'll be the ironing board, and you'll hurt your family. When you go into deep sleep, there's supposed to be like, you know, your body can't move, and so your brain goes into this state where no matter how much flailing around you're doing in your sleep, you're not actually moving. But then there's this weird thing that happens. We've all had this experience, probably everyone in this room, where you wake up and you're fully awake, but that chemical has still paralyzed your body, and you can't move. Like, you're awake and you can't move, and like sometimes you can't breathe. That hasn't happened to you?
I've never had that.
That's
oh, really?
Sleep paralysis. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. For me, like they say, like your dreams, like when you're trying to run or just even jog up a hill, that you, like your legs are sluggish and you can't move. That's your brain, like knowing that they're like the chemicals your brain administers while you sleep to make you really just fall asleep and your eyelids shut and like everything work and shut down. Like your brain knows that, so you're kind of paralyzed during your dreams. I've never had that in my waking state, though.
So when people are, all this shit that happens to you in your sleep, it's all just various combinations of different sleep disorders. Like sometimes that paralysis chemical is not working right, which is the sleepwalking.
But Adam, were you awake? Did you feel that?
I had been awake for a few minutes when it happened, and all I remember is I was hearing, you know, the hissing sound and the head popping back and forth, and I kept wanting to say something like wake my parents.
Yeah,
and tell
you
want to
scream,
happening. And I couldn't. And then, couldn't like scream. The next thing I knew, it just disappeared.
Yeah, but then after it disappeared, did you then go? Even though it was too late, like, that's what I did. I remember like waking up. I remember being wide awake in my bed when I was like 17, and I remember the full-on, perfectly vivid image of an absolute like corporeal woman, like a witch in a black robe. Starting from the corner of my bedroom behind my bedroom door, taking full strides over to my bed and like covering, like getting in my face, like a real person. And I was wide awake, and I couldn't move while she was doing it. And then it kind of like disappeared in a cloud, but I was wide awake and in cold sweats. And then as soon as I regained my faculties, I went, "Mom!" I was 17. It was so embarrassing. They say.
And she rolled over and goes, "What is it?"
Real nice, Jeff. And I say, "Stop giving me shoulder rubs and get to the real deal." Is there anybody in our audience? And don't be embarrassed. You're not going to get bullied, like for real. Like by applause only because we can't see you. Is there anybody who is like, you're just waving for, is there anybody in the audience that wants to just wave? But beyond that, is there anybody in the audience that believes in alien abduction, like mythology? Like the idea that there are aliens. Okay.
How about a woman? Any gals here believe in it? Well, there was applause. Anybody want to come up and talk about it?
Is there anybody willing to come up and talk about it a little bit?
You believe in it, right?
He's
not a lady, but he believes in it. Let's welcome whoever you are. What's your name, sir?
Casey.
Casey to the stage, everybody. Spencer, alien monster.
Is that a... Okay.
You see a circular beam of light. Floating down from the heavens is a green, ghastly figure with a large, oversized head. It's like an alien.
All right.
Jeez.
That was too over the plate.
Yeah.
I don't do sci-fi.
Message there. Spencer's bored. That was the message. Some bullshit's happening.
I'm having a
good
time.
Hot Topic if you want this kind of crap. I cater to a specific crowd. Go fuck yourself.
All right, Casey, you believe in alien encounters, abductions?
Yeah, sure. I mean...
Is that based on anything? Any like... What do you base that belief on?
That it would be rad.
That it would be rad?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I believe in hot tub parties.
I was writing a screenplay when I was like 23-ish, something like that. That was an alien abduction comedy. It's going to be like a new Ghostbusters. And I started researching all this alien abduction shit, and I got really freaked out because I got frequent nosebleeds as a kid, and I had all these, you know, like stuff when I was asleep, and I started experiencing, you know, like it gets in your head. I thought that I really thought aliens were abducting me, Jeff.
Well, no, I mean, people have instances where they have blacked out or something weird has happened, and then the next morning you wake up and there's a physiological difference. Maybe you lost some hair or an ear or something.
An ear?
aliens may have occurred.
Has anyone in the audience, does anyone in the audience think they've been abducted by an alien? Applaud, if you can. If you can overcome your telepathic chip.
So Casey, you're just saying your mind is open to that possibility, that you think that people, like, you believe, you want to believe, that people have been interacted with by aliens.
Yeah, my mind is unencumbered but in that way.
That's real groovy, Jackson.
Mine too. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I don't know.
Certainly
why,
not.
Why bother ruling anything out?
Yeah, I don't believe in ghosts. I have a logical, skeptical mind. I don't believe that ghosts come around and fuck with you and go like and like throw a plate across the room. However, I had an apartment that is now our friend Rob Schraub's apartment. Rob Schraub is how I know Dan Harmon. Like, they were writing partners. And I had to move out of an apartment in L.A., Casey, and it was a great apartment. But I couldn't afford it because my roommate moved out and I was broke. But the day that my friend and I moved in, it was Halloween, but we didn't think about that. And also the number, the prefix for the phone number that the telephone company wanted to give us was 666, because mine is 665. But that's like 664, 663, that's that neighborhood. But they can't get rid of the 666s because people, you know, are Catholic and shit, you know, or whatever. So, and my roommate was Irish Catholic. He's like, oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, my mother will never call me. She'll never call. And so so we got another number. And so we check in this new place. And we were the third residents to ever live there. But the apartment was built in the 50s. The first resident, a LAPD homicide detective. And then an old married couple, and the husband died. Not in that apartment, at a hospital. And the wife moved to a one-bedroom in the building. So we move in. It's a great place. And every time the two of us were out of the house, or out of the apartment, something crazy happened. We bought a brand new clock. Every time we left, we come back, the clock would be stopped at a certain time. And all of the pictures on the wall would be off the wall, but thrown across the hallway to the opposite side and broken. So if a painting was on the right side of the hallway, it would be thrown to the left side of the hallway and smashed, and left to right and smashed, and things would be tipped over and broken. So we thought, okay, like somebody has our keys, and they're coming and they're wrecking our place. So we asked Helene, the widow of the dead guy, who'd lived there for 35 years, does anybody else have these keys? She goes, no, we just put new locks on. I don't even have the keys. You and the landlord, and he's this 80-year-old guy, like only you guys have the keys. So usually one or the other of me and Paul would be at the apartment at one time because we had very different schedules because I was an alcoholic and he was an animator. So he was up early and I was out dancing. So we were usually, somebody was at home. But any time the two of us went to the market together, we'd come home and everything was busted. The pictures were all thrown around. Clocks would stop. And the bathtub would, there would be just matter everywhere. Not like if the drain spat out stuff or not if it backed up. There was just a random like splatter pattern of stuff all over the bathtub. And we just thought, someone's fucking with us. Like, what's going on? That kind of goes away a little bit. We go into we find there's an attic in it. We go up into the attic and we look up and it's LA. It's like 78 degrees out always. And in the attic, it should be hotter because the heat rises. I get up into the attic, and I look up, and I see some old Christmas decorations and stuff, and instantly the temperature drops to, like, what feels like 55 degrees, like, outside the draft house right now. And it's, like, instantly just crazy chill comes over me. And I kind of get this weird feeling. And I don't think, ooh, scary ghosts. I just drop back down the little ladder. I go, Paul, go check it out. There's some cool stuff up there, like, just to get, like, a real reading on this. And he climbs the ladder and puts his head right down. He goes, Jeff, we're never going up there again. All right, so time passes a little bit. I'm in my bedroom. I had the bedroom where the husband slept because they were an old married couple, and I think you find that often they sleep in different rooms because the husband snores and farts and the woman wants to get his night's sleep. And I had his room, and I was getting undressed. I'm down to my boxers, and I just have a feeling that absolutely somebody's behind me. Like somebody's like on the carpet behind me. And I turn around. I'm like, okay, fucking enough. Enough of this shit. Had enough of this. You're dead. You don't live here anymore. I live here now, so fucking stop it. Stop it. And nothing ever happened again. So I still...
It's just that simple.
Hang on. Story is far from over.
The only reason they made a bigger deal out of it in The Exorcist is because obviously that would be a shitty movie if... Knock it off!
My roommate goes, what the hell's going on? I go, I just exercised my bedroom as a fucking guy. So the end. I lived there for another 8 months. Nothing weird ever happens. I never thought the place was haunted. There was this weird activity that kept fucking happening. But there was a time when I felt there was a motherfucker standing behind me. And not because the guy had died there. He didn't die there. I was not implanted with this knowledge. I didn't really care about it. So Rob Schraub moves in a year later when I move out. And
story's halfway done.
Oh. No, this is like page 2 of 100. So we're at a bar. Rob Schraub is out there. We're at the drawing room. No, sorry, the burgundy room. And Rob comes out, and he just gets a screwdriver and just, boom, just drops it. Gets a bartender, another. Drinks it straight down. Another. And he's drinking it. And I go, Rob, what the fuck? I've never seen you drink like this. He's like, man, like, I don't want to go home sober. I'm like, what, something wrong, like with the girlfriend or the girl you're dating? He's like, no. He's like, I don't know, it's stupid. I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to. He's about to cry. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? He goes, the place on Lowry is like, anything weird ever happened there to you? And I was like, what do you mean? I still, again, like, I don't instantly leap to ghosts. Or, I never really thought that was ghosts. Just a bunch of weird shit happened. And he goes, I don't know. I was like, you slept in the bedroom I slept in, right? I sleep in. I go, yeah. And he goes, is it haunted? I go, oh, yeah, totally. And Rob goes, ah! Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. He starts crying. I go, what happened? What the fuck happened? He goes, ever since I moved in there, I hung all this artwork up. And every time I left the place and there was nobody in there, I would come back and all the paintings were off the walls and they were all broken. Anytime I hung a picture of somebody's face on it, all the pictures were gone and it was smashed across the room. And last night, like, there was all this weird shit going on, but last night I was laying in bed and I heard my bedroom door open and I heard somebody walking across the carpet into my room and I felt the weight of a person's body getting onto my bed. And I was like, were you awake or were you asleep? He's like, I was on my stomach, which is rare for me, but I looked at the clock and it was 4:10 a.m. And I thought, are Dan and Jeff still here? Did we watch a movie together? Like, it's like, no, they're not here. He's like, I had this conscious thought and I felt this person get on top of me. And I thought, like I said, it's a burglar. Like, so a burglar is in my room or a rapist.
Because it would never be Dan or Jeff. Yeah.
Certainly not. Not until tonight. And he the weight of a body got on top of him, and he heard a voice in his ear going, and the voice said, what are you doing in my room? And Rob jumped up across the room, and nothing was there. So I went with Rob to the apartment again, and I went, get the fuck out of here, man! You're dead! Like, Rob made me go back and be the world's shittiest exorcist.
This has been a Halloween Arlington National Cemetery. Spooky, ooky, Harmon Toonies.
The end.
Jesus Christ. I think you've told that story before on the podcast.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. No? Yeah, in your face.
All right, good. Dude, Thank God.
All credibility is lost with a camera on your head.
Finally, sunscreen worthy of your skin. Sol de Janeiro's new Rio Radiance SPF 50 collection, where glowing hydration meets sun protection in a beachy and nostalgic set. Confidently embrace your glow with lightweight 100% mineral SPF body lotion, refreshing SPF body spray, and shimmering SPF body oil. Receive 10% off on your first order on soldejaneiro.com, plus free shipping with the code SPOTIFY10.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Casey, what do you want? But I mean that in the actual, not the passive-aggressive sense. Like, what do you really want?
I mean, like a sip of whatever that is you're drinking. Let me know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that goes without saying, yeah. load them up, load them up. But I mean, think
Spencer
about
being Angel.
While you load that up, I want to hear what you want. I don't care if it's a noun, an adjective, a sentence, a phrase, a thought.
What's your dream?
What do you want? We're gonna give it to you figuratively.
If you could go home tonight and tell your loved ones something happened tonight, what would that be?
Joy.
You want joy? Casey, you want
okay,
joy?
Okay.
Did someone boo? Joy.
It might have been
booing. We really are 10 minutes from the White House.
Pancakes.
No, not in that case. That's don't cater
to that. He said pancakes.
Oh, pancakes. I thought he said in that case.
Pancakes.
Joy and pancakes.
It's like the same thing.
All right. Casey wants joy and pancakes. Can we just, real quick, Jeff? Oh, it's a wrap?
All right. What did you want?
I thought it would be like a movie, like a quick movie.
A movie called Joy and Pancakes?
Yeah.
All right.
Starring Casey.
Okay.
With me as Casey.
And yeah. Casey as you?
No, Casey's out of here. Fuck him.
Casey, everybody. Welcome, Casey.
The year is 1939. Hitler's armies have crossed into Poland. World War II has begun.
Incoming! Sir! Lieutenant Casey reported for duty, sir!
Where are my pancakes, soldier?
Sir, I tried to get them as far as Verdun, but I...
Soldier, stand at attention when you're in front of your commanding officer.
Sir, yes, sir. I apologize, sir. I lost your pancakes at Verdun, sir.
Verdun was World War I. You're in the wrong war, sir. Soldier, you are fighting in a wrong war.
Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. World War II. Sir. I try to keep track of it, sir. I tried to make your pancakes, but I couldn't, sir.
What war was Hamburger Hill?
Sir, you're making me hungry, sir.
No. That war was in the future. Trick question. That was Korea.
Sir, D-Day's coming.
D-Day? Does D stand for delicious?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't authorized.
Come back into my tent until you have pancakes, soldier. Do you hear me? Or I'll send you to Leavenworth.
Yes, sir.
Even though we're not in the Navy.
I'm just a soldier without a war. Trying to bring pancakes, but I need more. Don't know what place to shoot or duck. Germans in both wars don't give a fuck.
Ah! Wieso gehen so mit einem Bausenschneider?
During my song, I wandered across enemy lines. There's a mortar attack. I gotta dive into this foxhole.
No. Engländer?
See.
I speak a little English. I am a German pancake meister.
Incoming!
I'm sorry. I thought you were beatboxing. Forgive me. I am from the future. Listen, this war is needless. War is all about destruction and annihilation and separation between the people, the lines that connect a human from another human being.
I always had that sense.
Can I tell you a simple story?
See?
About 11 years ago, before Rob Schraub lived in this apartment, I lived in an apartment with an Irish roommate. And it was Halloween. And the phone company is trying
to give... 6 hours later... Holy shit, so the war is over.
So then I climb up into the attic, and I look around, and I get the weird that the temperature just changes.
Fuck.
And so I go back down 12 years later, the Cold War is over. Or beginning. Or actually, we're right kind of in the middle of the Cold War right now.
Johann.
Yes, Sebastian.
Casey for short. I don't have much time left. I'm now 93.
I feel like I wasted about 20 so years on a story about a ghost.
It's okay.
I really should have just given you a recipe for pancakes that could have stopped both World War I and World War II. You see, I am a timeless pancake meister. Yes, I was there at the Battle of Valley Forge. Yes, I was there.
Flashback to Valley Forge. Washington soldiers, charge! I'm George Washington. Cross it. Keep crossing it. Don't stop. You're gonna be
chasing. Get your pancakes. Get your German future pancakes.
Sir, my name's George Washington. I'm trying to cross this area. You need to get clear, sir. Get clear.
I would give you, George Washington, the recipe to my secret German future pancakes. However, if I did that, war would end. But I cannot do that. You see, I'm here to cast a sad light on humanity. You see, war is a perpetual state of humanity.
Yes, hey, man, my teeth are made of wood. I don't have time for this Clive Barker bullshit.
They're not made of wood. They are not made of wood. That is a lie. They're hippopotamus bone.
Flash forward to the spine of the... Yeah, you were at Valley Forge.
Yeah. So anyway, I throughout time, I could have given Alexander the Great, Napoleon, pancakes, and all wars would have ended. But you see, I withhold pancakes.
Because war is a part of...
It's a part of who we are.
It's a part of this nutritious breakfast of humanity.
It's part of this nutritious breakfast of humanity.
Like the orange juice is pain and the and the milk is...
Casey, don't worry about war. Wars will solve themselves. What you should worry yourself most with is aliens.
Cut to Manhattan, 2019 AD. Hover car. Hover car. In the news, neo-president fuckface who did the thing with the... It's not a dirty word anymore. Language is changing. Postage stamps are the new fuel. Pennies are worth a dollar. Bottle caps are hats. Corn is a potato. Hey, man, you got any shoes? And by shoes, I mean sleeves? Oh, no, leave me alone. Everything's different. It's 2019.
Hello. Psh. This is Wolf.
Identity door recognized. Opening. Psh. Identity door closing. We're having recognized you.
General Casey.
Yes. Reporting for duty, sir.
I have bad news for you. We thought that we had mastered war, but we haven't. It turns out we are under attack by a pancake monster.
Slowly, it rises over the horizon. 1, 2, 7 full pancakes covered in butter. It opens its juicy maw and leaks glistening syrup. It charges.
Yes, pancakes have evolved. They have cheeks and a maw. Casey, are you okay?
I'm fine.
You're right.
I guess if this could be a 70s movie, it could just end here. Right? That's kind of doesn't have to. In the 80s, then they started to have a whole third act after that. Then you blow up the pancakes and no one cares. Who gives a shit? Take your kids to it. In the 70s, you could just end there.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman would run out of frame. Hey, you! You'd hear a gunshot. Credits. Wait, was that a beautiful time to be alive.
Was that the, what was that one? The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3?
That was French Connection.
French Connection, yeah.
Literally, Gene Hackman's like, it's the end of the movie! Over there! And he ran off frame. And you hear... Credits. No spoilers possible, because that's you make up your own ending. That's the 70s. Like Omega Man, Charlton Heston is just hanging out with zombies, and then they're like, "Oh, you're a zombie." I don't know. Well, fuck it. No. Good night. God, that ghost story is so long. I could have sworn you told that before. I don't know.
I've told you before.
Yeah. Okay, no politics.
No more ghost stories.
No more ghost stories. Race. Aliens? Race?
Race.
We settle anything about race?
Should we try to... Should we try to break our record? Because our record in, at Harmontown shows is two black people. Do we have more than two tonight?
We got.
Oh,
we
my
got
God.
Two. Wait, why is that white guy raising both his hands?
Wait, Casey? Casey's half a black
Casey's
person.
Casey's half a black person.
All right.
He was already up here.
Two? Two and
we
a
got,
half?
Okay, that, there's, yeah.
Four? Six?
Holy shit!
Wow. Let's get them all up here. All black mega people. Black. All black people to the stage.
Mega black. Harmontown. Mega black. Harmontown. It's the half dozen man march. Yes!
I want all black people up on the stage if possible. All right, here we are.
If you're a all black right. person and you're in the audience right now, you are selling out your race. Yeah.
All right. So let's... One, two, three, four, five, six, seven and a half. Seven and a half black people, everybody.
All right.
Come forward. Come forward.
Well, should we have him do the Rihanna chorus, the Dido hook for the?
Oh, fucking hell yeah!
Yeah, I'll spit some fire and then.
All right.
And then let's do that.
Let me find
you,
it.
You guys are joining too, but the visual. Oh my God.
Hold up.
Harmontown's getting more and more sophisticated.
Where the hell? Oh yeah. Okay, so you want to teach him the lyric? We'll do one. Those of you that know it, get in there and do it.
It's I can't remember it. I'm so drunk. It's yeah. Turn it frown upside down. P is yellow. Yo.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. P is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Colors, what did they mean? Could you go from a scene to a scene? If your skin was pale white or dark as night, would you be allowed to do a flying kite maneuver over the city? I fucked your mama cause I loved her juicy titty. I squeezed it till the milk come out. And the milk was white, but did that give it more clout? I don't know. What if her milk was black? Wouldn't that give your white ass a heart attack? Would it be worth more or worth less? What if your mama's milk was purple, Herman Hess?
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down.
Race.
He is yellow, poop is brown.
Blackness.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Struggle in the city, in the streets. Every manhole cover is another piece of meat. I'd like to pick it up like a piece of roast beef. Flip it up in the air and do it like Kiefer Sutherland. He was a famous person that loved to eat meat. Sorry. Starting over.
Yeah.
I fucked your mama. Mars rover.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Moonwalk.
Turn that frown upside down.
Race.
Is yellow. Poop is brown.
Africa.
Is yellow. Harmontown.
Huxtables. Bill Cosby. Everybody's going from Norman Lear straight to me. I'm the new representative of their voice. Nobody black has another choice. You're not allowed to get hired as a writer if you're black, so it comes to me. I'm like Spider-Man. I'm the Peter Parker of the new generation. I'm gonna speak for the black people of this nation. Here's the things that they like in the order of this. They like carrots and lettuce and piss. It goes like that. Don't ask them. You gotta come through me.
Yo, Dan, yo, check it. Yo, she gotta come out there. Yo.
What? What?
Yeah. She, rap battle. Rap battle.
Oh, shit.
Turn that frown upside down.
Race.
Pee is yellow, poop is brown.
Skin.
Beat it down, Harmontown.
Complexion. Melanin. Molecules. Little tiny things that make people ridicule each other. Motherfucker, I'm spitting. I fucked your mama so hard, she said, I'm tittin'. It's a new phrase. It means your tits will explode. I fucked your mama so hard, I generated loads of semen all across her chest. I fucked your mama so hard, she told me I was the best.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down.
race. Yellow poop is brown. Urban. Differences. Everyone is different. That's the lesson you should learn. Everyone is different. I'm being sarcastic. Everyone's the same. It's really, really stupid that we come up with different names. There's a class system entrenched in our culture, and the only people that profit off of it are parasitic vultures. They sit at the top, and they capitalize on us. They're a bunch of rich motherfuckers. Fuck them. God damn it, fuck them. Come on
down to Harmon Town. Turn that frown upside.
Fuck them. Ownership!
Come on down.
I'm sorry I criminalized all of you by association. I'm sorry I disseminated us from the nation. I'm declaring it once and for all. I'm so fucking sick and tired of all of these fucking assholes. Suck my balls. I hope I go home and my house is burnt to the ground because I'm a horrible person and a criminal. I got a little too drunk. I'm sorry. Let's hear it for our nation's capital's black people. They earned this.
All Arapaho Indians to the stage, please.
Nope, none left. Fucked that up already. This show could have existed 300 years ago. We could have done something.
Well, we should do another movie with everybody up here right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Another I thought we've got to play Dungeons and Dragons.
All right.
Can we play Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah. Stay up here.
Do you want all black people to play Dungeons and Dragons with us?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right.
We're going to play Dungeons and Dragons with all black people tonight. There's a new character. Right, Spencer?
Right.
All right. I mean, is that possible?
I don't know. Ask Spencer. Is it possible to have this many people just like spring on you for the D&D?
I mean, they could exist in the game world.
All right.
I don't have characters.
Are you guys down with just standing awkwardly up on stage in the background like this? You can't just ask a group of people to stand up here like just waiting to find out if they're involved.
Yeah, we could dismiss them. I don't know. It's an awkward situation. You know what? It's metaphorical.
Well, then
let's
you do
deal
it.
Deal with it head on.
All right.
What are we
ahead.
Supposed to do?
Go ahead.
This is my favorite form of affirmative action, like my whole life. This is the best.
But I say, Jeff, here's what I say. We break a pool cue in half and we put it on the floor. No, sorry, that's the way we've been handling it. Let's play Dungeons and Dragons and have all black people that want to be a part of it represent all black people in the whole nation. All
right.
And they can play a character that we'll make up on the fly.
Okay,
and
cool. Spencer, yeah, we'll leave it to you to include our 7.5 black people up here.
So did you say one character for all of them?
No, yeah. All black people have to play one character. Yeah. I mean, look, we've done so much. We're bending over backwards here. What do you want us to do? I didn't... this wasn't my problem. I inherited this. I think I'm being pretty heroic by providing them with one D&D character. He can be super strong. He won't be a kleptomaniac or have a stutter. He'll be the dentist or the next door neighbor.
All right, so let's start this stuff. Aaron McGathy to the stage, please. Aaron McGathy.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Spencer?
Phil.
All right.
When we last met.
This is funny. Okay.
You good, Spencer?
Yeah, I'm all good, you guys.
All right.
On the last episode, our heroes had defeated Dave, the airship pilot, and gained control of the ship. After tormenting some crew members, the group had to find the engine room and enlisted the help of, slash threw into a wall, a couple of imps who were tasked with servicing the ship's engines. After finding some sovereign glue, the ship seemed prepared. Sharpie decided that they should press onward in an attempt to take the fight to Admiral Darkstar. It was just then that a calamitous impact shook the entire ship before casting everything into darkness.
All right.
You were all knocked unconscious. You wake up in the hull of the black ship. Well, what's left of it, at any rate. You can see that the hull has been ripped into two halves. Through the wreckage, you can see dull red walls slick with slime surrounding you. You seem to be at the bottom of a pit, as above you stretches a black expanse. Go!
All right. Now, didn't we meet, like, some people that were going to walk us down the road?
Yeah, okay. So, like, that I didn't write because I thought we'd just do it right now, but...
Okay.
Do you want to just...
I look up and I look around and see if there's any people that will help us down the road.
You see three white figure... or three white-clothed figures approaching.
Wait, why can't we...
This isn't you. You guys are elsewhere.
Seems like with a quick edit, you could make this very appropriate.
Do what?
Can't there be 7.5 black figures?
Seven and a half black figures approach. Why can't it just be a full eighth black person?
He said he was half black. I'm just making a joke.
Okay.
He's a halfling.
Seven black people and a black halfling approach. All right. So right now, you
like
guys...
Man March.
That's you, Casey.
Oh, dear God. Holy hell.
Casey's mutated.
All right. So you guys have been living in the belly of this great beast for quite some time. You're quite used to it. But you just saw this ship crash down to the floor. It's quite a new occurrence for you guys. I mean... stowaways and shipwrecks occasionally happen, but it's quite rare. So that's your motivation as you're approaching this wreck ship.
So our ship crashed inside the mouth of this the Infinifish.
Correct. And I should mention, Jeff, that your crystal... I'm sorry, not your crystal. Your healing pendant shatters into a billion piles of little crystals.
Whoa. That's like in a video game, because we would have been able to use that.
As this happens, you feel some of the crystals dissolving, healing you to full health. You see a small pile of crystals remaining.
I gather those crystals.
All right, you gather them.
Where are my hit points at right now?
They're at full now.
Fuck yeah, 40 hit points, motherfucker!
Can we get our character sheets?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Spencer, I walk up to one of the this group of people, and I find a person that seems to be the leader, and she has a red and blue feather, a pink and blue feather in her ear, and I assume she's the leader, so I come up and address her and say, can you please help us?
If we could help you, we'd help ourselves. We're stuck here.
Nice.
I don't know what you want us to do.
How long have you been stuck here?
I don't know. We don't have any clocks or calendars. It's felt like years.
Okay, so a long time.
A very long time.
I noticed that she's wearing a handmade This Feels Terrible vest that I regard and think is awesome. That's all.
Nice.
Sorry.
We do get iTunes and podcasts here. That's like the only bright light.
The Wi-Fi is great.
I thought I had a handle on this metaphor, but it's totally convoluted now. So you guys, if you knew how to get out of here, you would have gotten out of here, huh?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, we've had tongue stew for a million years. Like, cutting off tongue of the beast's mouth and making soup isn't really enjoyable. I'd rather, you know, something else.
Where did you all...
Some fried chicken and watermelon would be delicious.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Wow.
I pick something else to look at. And I roll versus blushing.
You save.
Where did you... black figures... Are they figures?
They're people.
They're figureheads.
Like you and I.
They're fucking people, Moraine.
Where are you from?
Your mama.
Jeez.
All right.
Spencer, where are they from?
Where are you guys from?
We're from here.
You were, oh. Okay. They mentioned that they were actually the third generation of people born in this fish.
Oh, my God. The metaphor's oh, okay. back. I like it. So you don't know any different. You've been born inside the belly of this savage beast. This is your ordinary world. And you have an instinctive sense that it's not a healthy place, but it's all you know.
I examine our surroundings to look for exits or portals to cross through.
To the, what I'm going to call south for, you know, sake of directionality. You see what appears to be
a
large...
That's a great reason to call it south.
Well, there's no...
That's actually the only reason to call it south.
I got to draw a map, you know, for my reference, and I can't, like, there's no south of a fish, but... But there's down on a paper.
Okay.
Anyway, you see a curtain. It appears to be made out of some sort of fleshy meat-like substance.
A meat curtain?
A meat curtain.
A wizard sleeve?
A portable hole.
I thrust myself headlong through the meat curtain.
I must warn you, strange traveler, no one who's gone through that curtain has come back. We've lost many siblings.
Are you saying...
To the meat curtain.
Are you saying that once you go through this particular meat curtain, you never go back? Is that what I'm hearing?
Heedless of her warning, I thrust myself through the fleshy folds of the meat curtain.
You see what appears to be a snake-like appendage whip out of the curtain.
Uh-oh. It's a dick inside a pussy.
Yeah. You got me. The tentacle whips at you but misses by a hair.
Come on in, guys. It's okay.
I approach the whipping serpent, and I whip my hair around in an attempt to calm it down, or maybe to just make it straighter.
The curtain opens. Three more tendrils reveal themselves, whipping themselves at
busy
you.
Lady.
They also miss.
Are we armed?
You guys are actually armed with daggers and spears. Sorry, you guys.
Spencer!
It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
Spears are going to be really useful, as you'll see later. I can't do anything.
All right.
Guys, you've been here for three generations. If we don't go through this meat curtain together, we've got no chance of getting out. I say follow me with your spears and daggers. Yeah.
I say we send one of the black people in first. Is that cool?
It's not cool.
You already went in first.
Oh, that's right. I'm already in there.
Before they go in, I shoot one arrow at the. Sorry? More? I shoot 14 arrows! Or two.
Two. Okay. Yep. One of the arrows strikes the meat curtain. It shudders violently.
Am I sorry? Okay.
Are we all through the curtain right now?
No one's even tried to go through it.
Wait, everybody, let's all charge.
Charge the meat curtain.
I peek cautiously through the meat curtain. You guys want to go through? We should go. All right, let's. I lead my army of black people through the meat curtain.
Yes!
Failing to
and
regard.
We thrust our daggers and spears, our non-denominational daggers and spears, through the meat curtain towards the tentacles.
Brandishing your weapons dangerously, you charge through the curtain. The tentacles whip back and forth, but you manage to subdue them and make it through.
Black adventure! Adventure!
Sorry, guys. Mixed reaction.
So we're beyond the tentacles now?
You are beyond the tentacles.
What do we see?
You see a blue round tunnel. It seems to get smaller and smaller.
Uh,
So, I can't. I've tried to summon squirrels, but there's no squirrels inside the infinite fish. I've already tried that.
Black friends, is there a way to take the spears and to prop them up so as to keep the blue tunnel wide? Like, sorry? I need to stop listening to people yelling things. The spears, can you take your spears and just like stick them upright so the tunnel can't close?
Well, we have heard strange legend of an exit which, if stimulated properly, expands.
Excellent, excellent.
Exit this beast, but none have ventured this far previously.
Oh my God.
I'm having way too much fun.
There's a legend of a thing that expands when you stimulate it. Yeah, well, that sounds...
What is your secret, wise woman, to stimulate the tunnel to make it expand?
A wise African-American elder, as African-American elders tend to be very wise, once told me of a sacred dance that can only be performed when you have a seven and a half African dark-skinned beings. And three pale-skinned people can only create this dance to arouse the exit.
So we all, you're saying we all have to dance together to coax the opening to widen for us to pass through?
Si, senor. Can you...
Wait. Si, senor?
The three of us have only danced in the shape of square. Can you show us how to dance?
Yeah. Sometimes in a line, when things get hotter than a hoochie-coochie...
If thou'st has a beat to drop, we may proceed.
Are you sure?
I'm getting very uncomfortable.
No, we're black, so it's okay.
That's what's making me... That's the whole...
I can talk like this.
I do not want to see the TMZ headline.
I feel comfortable. I'll lead the charge. Wearing a...
No, I think if...
Oh, this will actually be embarrassing.
Open up. Dilate. Open up. Gotta open up that esophagus. I'm gonna fuck your mama like I was Snuffleupagus. Gonna take my trunk, it's not imaginary. I'm gonna fuck your mama like an aviary. Bird to bird, feather to feather. Gonna fuck your mom like my name was Carl Weathers. Gonna fuck her dick, fuck her butt. I'm gonna fuck her salted ass peanuts. I'm gonna fuck her cashew, fuck her almond. Gonna fuck her name like my name was Philip Drummond. Fuck her like a different stroke. I'm gonna fuck your mama like my dick was a joke. I got a set up on my nuts, got a punchline on my tip. Fuck your mama, that's how I'm hip. And then I assume that's like an open sesame.
The rhythmic pounding of feet and limbs and the flailing of your bodies seems to do nothing at first, but then you feel the expanding and contracting muscular action.
Jesus.
The esophageal tube opens and widens, revealing a larger antechamber.
So we're going down the throat into the belly of this infinifish.
You're going down an esophageal tube. It may or may not be a throat. It opens into a large chamber. Dungeon snap. You can see several wooden constructions built together. They seem to have been made out of parts of old ships or perhaps other crates and boxes. But they hold together quite nicely. There seems to be about 16 or 17 of the dwellings. This is where you guys have lived. Your parents, you know, they came... I guess I said third generation, so your parents came on ships, and they built these into a village. So that's where you guys live.
Wait, so they've lived here?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh. Have they been here before?
They've
lived here for three generations.
They usually take a different path. A less dangerous.
Oh,
one.
So we just took the long, hard way to get here?
Yeah.
This is like the corner drugstore.
Wait, so, wait, they could have told us how to get home? And is that your doorbell? We all do a dance, and that's how you get home.
You guys
normally
saw the
when
meat.
When we incorporate new people into our culture, we like to embarrass them first.
Okay,
yeah, right. That makes sense. We should have.
They
to
don't
pay
have
a price.
TV, just Wi-Fi.
So now we're at the home of these people.
Yeah, this is your guys' home. you love it. Once you feng shui the organs. No, that's someone else's joke. Sorry, guys.
it's beautiful here.
It's great here, guys.
Yeah, it's nice. I've never seen such a nice place inside of an esophageal tube before. I love what you've done with the throat.
We try. We get Martha Stewart living on the Wi-Fi, so we try to make it cozy.
You've really started from a place of nothing and built from the scraps of and created something that's equally appealing and a testament to the environment that is this infinite fish.
You could even say we found love in a hopeless place.
Yeah, it seems like you did not land on this infinite fish. It seems like this infinite fish landed on you. But I respect what you've done. I think we can learn from it. Like I
pull Mulrain aside over to the wall of the esophageal tube, and I say, Mulrain, I don't know if you're watching this, but it seems there's some sort of spark of connection between this leader and Sharpie, whom you've been in love with. Are you? You better. I warn you, be careful. I know about these esophageal people.
Yes. Quirk, I saw it too, but I can't move like she can move. I can shoot arrows and I can wave my hair and I can giggle, but I'm going to concede. Don't tell him that.
Oh, your talent for passive aggression seduces me.
That wasn't passive aggression. You couldn't hear me.
Well, no, I heard the sound of someone needing more than.
Are we going to talk about our actual relationship in the middle of D&D? I was just expressing that I was sad. I wasn't being passive aggressive. It's similar to the van thing last night.
I take our new hosts out to lunch at their local esophagus shack while these two sort out their relationship from the tour bus today.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so we're at the village of these people who have a weird habit of making people go through a tentacle esophagus in order to get where they already lived. We can't do much more than that. We've done this for like a half hour. We should probably cut it off there.
It's
right?
Fine. Avoid our issues. It's fine.
Let's hear it for America's black people. The Capitol steps. I'm going to give them a name, Jeff. The Capitol Steps.
All right, wait, what's everyone's name real quick before you go off?
We got Casey. All right,
Casey already.
Yeah, just for the sake of credits.
That's
my
fish.
Casey. You are?
Latia.
Nice to meet you.
Tori.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Dane.
I met you earlier at the bar. Welcome again.
Vanessa.
Aaliyah.
Philip.
Andrew, thank you so much for coming up.
Black people! Our salvation. There's nothing left. We have nothing left.
Jeff. When we were near Boston in Somerville, I had a camper come up to stage because I was a camp counselor. I have another camper here. That was a
show off.
Just saying. That's all.
Do you want to bring her up?
I'd like to.
Let's get her up.
Yeah, bring up Alex Fox.
All right. Alex?
Sounds white, but fine.
Change of pace.
You say you were asking for something. Now you're being passive aggressive.
I wanted to hear about
Alex Fox. You wanted to hear about what?
Hello, Alex.
Alex Fox.
He can sort it out.
So, Alex, when we were in Somerville, Massachusetts, we had another one of Erin's campers come up, and we talked about feminine wetness. And then her mother came on stage, and shit got bananas.
It got weird.
Did Aaron dispense any uncomfortable wisdom to you while you were at the camp?
I mean, Aaron was just really my sexual education. Like, up until I was about, like, what, 14, 15, I went to a really strict school, private Catholic school, so I didn't know what sex was. And Aaron really was really eager to talk about it with just our 14-year-old selves.
That's not why I brought her up.
No, but...
Did she ever make you pass through her flesh curtains?
No, but she did show me my first penis, so, like...
What? Wait, what, huh?
No, I'm just kidding. You don't have a penis. I'm just kidding. You're totally fine. You're normal.
It'd also be okay if I had a penis.
No, totally would
it
be.
It would be fine, yeah.
That would be even more educating, like, but it's all right.
Women having penises is the new black.
It's true.
What we did tonight was kind of antiquated. Like, we're not really breaking down any barriers. This is D.C. Like, we should have had transgender people up here.
Yeah.
Black people. Yawn. What is this, Gilligan's Island? issue solved.
So, Alex, you were counseled by Aaron when you were younger. And now
yes, counseled.
And now we're all grown up. But Dan and Aaron were about to talk about a little spat they had today, which I know nothing about. Maybe you could counsel them right now through this. Maybe you could mediate through this crisis.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad idea. Hear about it.
Alex, okay. Why don't you take the mic and walk them through it?
Hey, Alex Fox. So we were in Somerville, and then after the show, I was talking to some fans.
This is Dan's side of the story.
I was talking to two fans about glass blowing. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
But that was Providence. Cool, Providence last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Sorry. I'm starting to be. Yeah. It's all the same. Only the names have changed. I was in Rhode Island talking to two guys about glass blowing, signing a lot of autographs. Foregoing the opportunity to write a TV show. Having decided, okay, this is where I need to be.
Right.
Being a hero, really.
Right. Of course.
My girlfriend comes up to me and she says, "Hey, the van's leaving. I don't know if you wanted to go or if you don't want to go, but the van's leaving."
Dan's side of the story.
And your van said, is the only mode of transportation.
All right, I guess I'll stay. Is everyone leaving? I don't know if everyone's leaving. There's two vans, but then there's another van leaving later. I'm not sure. I don't know. And what follows is a 25-minute conversation about when the van's leaving, when the vans aren't leaving. But I know the whole time, because I'm 40, mm-hmm. I know the whole time that what she's saying without saying it is she wants to leave. She wants me to want to leave. Mm-hmm. But she's not saying, "I want you to want to leave." She's saying everything else. And I'm agreeing with it because I don't give a shit. And I'm going like, okay, well, you know, if you want to take what you're saying at face value, if you want to get on the first van, get on the first van, second van, I don't know. 25 minutes goes by my drunk estimation. Mm-hmm. She at one point she walks away, goes like, "Well, I'm gonna get on the first van." She walks away. I go, "Goodbye, I'll see you back at the hotel." Then she comes back, and because there is no van and there is nothing. And she goes like, "Well, the van is, there's another van, the van, and schedule van, schedule." And I go, again, I don't care. I'm talking to guys about glass blowing, I don't care. She walks away.
And you love glass blowing.
I did that night. I never heard anything about it. It's fucking fascinating. Like, really think about it. Like, my first question was, do you just take a bunch of sand and heat it up? Does it turn into glass? The answer's no, Jeff. The answer's no.
Dan, my van is leaving in a couple seconds.
I already know everything about this. I don't. Like, this is my one chance. I'm talking to some dudes about blowing glass.
Interesting talk.
So then what happened, the thing that really causes the fight, pops the champagne cork on the beautiful, frothy anger bottle that is our relationship, the tour manager, the guy whose job it is to tell you when and a van is coming and when it isn't, comes up to me and says, "Hey, Dan, so there's a van leaving now, and there's a van leaving in 15 minutes. Which one do you want to be on?" And I go, "I'll take the one in 15 minutes. He goes, "Okay." And he proceeds to go around the bar and tell everybody. And when I see him telling it to Aaron, I was drunk and I was an asshole. And I was going, I was like jiggling my ear, and she's like looking at me, going, "What are you doing?" And she came over to me, and I said, "I'm just saying. Do you hear how that works? You hear how easy that is?"
That's rude.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fuck you guys. I lost 38 minutes of glass blowing talk.
All right.
Aaron lost a little bit of dignity for 30 seconds.
I'll try to make my version a little shorter. That wasn't a diss, but thanks, guys. Yeah.
Well, you can afford to, time stealer.
The 38 minutes.
I'm sure your Justin Timberlake arm readout has fucking 100 of my minutes on it. From just because I spent all that time talking about Vans instead of fucking glass. I would have been up here tonight teaching motherfuckers how to blow a bottle out of dirt. But there's crucial shit I missed. All I know is that we're fighting.
Right. Alex, so jump in, mediate for fuck's sake. What's going on?
Let's hear her side.
I want to hear her side of the story.
Thanks, Alex.
There you go.
First of all, those guys talking to Dan about blowing glass, super cool. Learned a lot from them. I was also listening to them about glass and like the lightning striking the sand and that making like these big branches of glass and things. It was cool. I also had a great time at the bar. I was tired. Neil Berkley, who's directing the documentary, was like, we're gonna get in the van and go. Sometimes like transportation has been tough and people have been left behind. So I was like, I'm gonna let Dan know that I'm gonna go. Maybe he'll wanna go too. I love him dearly. Went up to him and I was like, hey, like there's gonna be a van going in a little bit if you wanna get on that van. And he responded to me in a way that made me think that he was like, oh, okay, I'll get on the van. If you want me to get on the van. Like I had said, hey, we're getting on a van. So if you want to be cool, get on the van. And he responded to me like I had said it that way. So I was like, that didn't feel good. And I walked away. And because I can't walk away from things, I was like, that was rude. And I walked back and I tried to explain it to him. And he was very like snippy with me. And then I walked back and was talking to more people, and that was when the tour manager went over and told him about the 15 minutes thing. I didn't know it. But then afterwards, he did this, and then he yelled at me. And then I went back to the hotel room, and I was crying in the bathroom. And he came in, and he's like, you taking a shit?
I don't know. I can't see tears. All I see is a closed bathroom door.
And
I start with logic.
I walked out. My face is red, and I said I like what? Because I was sitting there crying, and I was like, I feel like I'm constantly. That whole fight happened because I was worried he was going to get left behind. Because call back to the mom issues from earlier. Sometimes I'm Dan's mom a little bit. I get his food together. I take care of him as best I can.
It's natural. That's normal.
Good job, Casey.
Alex.
Casey.
No, I know. I met the guy from earlier.
No,
I just thought that guy earlier was fucking great.
But he checked his arms into his sleeves.
Casey,
and
just the costume design alone. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
So it escalated. It escalated from there. And Dan tore me a real good one, and I was crying for a long time. He left the hotel room. He ran into Bobcat Goldthwait in the
Goldthwait was in the room across the hall. So.
And so he leaves. He talks to him, and then he comes back, and he's calmed down, and he said, "I'm sorry," because he said a lot of mean things to me, including the C word.
That's not
which one?
That's never okay.
Which C word?
Cutie.
Yeah, okay. I'll see it. It's not so bad.
So, and then this morning I was still bummed out about it, even though he said, I'm sorry, but he said a lot of really, really cruel things to me. It made me feel pretty worthless.
Okay, Alex, now's your chance to graduate.
Go ahead and mediate.
All right, well, here's my thing. If you apologize to her, then you're admitting that you did something wrong, or at least realizing that you hurt her feelings in some capacity.
Sure.
So
yes.
Then, I mean, I think it was mostly a miscommunication between the two of you. You thought she was harassing you to get on this van,
right?
When in reality, she was just concerned about not leaving you behind.
Maybe.
Which is
right. I should say the crux of this argument.
Good intentions, you know. So
yeah.
I don't think
he thought I was lying. He thought that I was bullshitting him, and I was not. And I
because
stand
it's a silly
that.
Thing to lie about, and I don't think Aaron would do that. Personally, however,
well,
just
have
from
you
an
dated
unbiased,
her for a year?
No, I haven't. You're right. So I don't know. So I'm just saying from an unbiased perspective, however, you know, clearly her heart was in the right place. If she's saying that she thinks she was going to leave you behind, and you admitted that you were wrong about something. So,
okay, so by applause, by applause, should they break up or stay together?
Stay together. That's my vote.
Thank you, Alex. That was very wise. That was lovely.
We're staying together no matter what. We're staying together no matter what. That's the problem. I'm never gonna leave her, and if she leaves me, I'll kill myself.
So sounds healthy. That sounds very healthy.
There begin the problems. When you realize that you can't be without someone, then you go like, all right, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you, why?
So maybe if that's true, instead of thinking that I'm someone who could never go away, think of me as someone who you want to take care of and be nice to because I'm never going to go away. You don't want this perfect flower that you have to wilt
nourish this flower.
Now, let's first of all thank Alex for coming up and dispensing what I think is very sound counseling. Well, let's see if we can sum this up. Maybe we can heal these wounds via our new anthem. Let's try this one out.
It's been a good night in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned some things.
Oh, yeah.
I told a pretty long story.
Everybody does something wrong, but I'm gonna heal you with a tender song. I'm so sorry to Aaron and Jeff and Spencer and all the black people. I didn't mean to do you bad. I just wanna make you happy, not sad. I just wanna go from town to town and say Harmontown, where pee is yellow and poop is brown. Harmontown, everybody singing Harmontown, where pee is yellow and the poop is brown. I like the bread and the butter and the honey and the nutrients grow on every tree and the leaves go to the sky and drip down on me and every piece of sustenance makes me feel young and free again. And I feel like I'm 20 again. I fucked your mama so hard that I swear I saw her in a prison yard. And I'm sorry that she got fucked with my fleshy shard of love.
Fleshy shard of love?
I don't think the glove fits the hand in the acquitting process. I'm sorry, I got thrown off the rail. I'm sorry, I'm gonna start over again. Sorry, I got thrown off in Harmontown. I'm really sorry in Harmontown. But when your mama sucks dick, makes me feel like Kate Nick. That's a guy that played the guy in Snake Eyes. His name was Nicolas Cage, and I fucked your mama on this stage, and I fucked your mama at home on Ellen Page's back, and I fucked your mama while your daddy smoked some crack and just watched because your family sucks. Let's fuck up. I fucked your mama at the Arlington Draft House in Virginia County. I fucked your mama so hard. I fucked your mama real hard. Crane shot, gonna fuck your mama sweet and hard. Here we go with the... so hard, she looked like Winnie the Pooh. I fucked your mama so hard, she bled. I fucked your mama on the top of a sled. Fucked her downhill, and then I decided to fuck her instead. Uphill and to the top of a hat. I fucked your mama like that, and I fucked your mama inside a jelly vat. And I took her to the bottom, and then I puckered lips and spat on her face because your mama is fat. And fuck your mama. Obama in Harmontown. Fuck the legislators, fuck the senators in Harmontown. You're not invited if you ever made a law in this place. I fucked your mama.
Thank you so much for coming to Harmontown tonight, everybody. Arlington Draft House.
Shitty stage dive.
Here he goes. Let's hear it one more time for Aaron McCaffrey.
Stage dive.
Spencer Crittenden.
Whoa.
Our black esophageal chorus.
Shittiest stage dive in the world.
That's it.
Shittiest stage dive in the world. Shittiest stage dive in the world.
Wait, it's happening.
Actually, it's not that bad. Whoa! Whoa!
Okay, they're tired. They're tired.
Okay, that's all right. I fucked your mama in arm and town.
All right, I'll be here for the rest of the night. All right, good night. Thank you all. Dan, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Dan, cross the return threshold and make it back to the stage.
If you bought anything, I'll sign it. That's the Harmon guarantee. If you're black, I'll sign it twice. If you're half black, I'll sign it three times. That's the weird thing. I don't know what message you're supposed to get from that. I don't know. Fucked your mama tonight. I fucked your mama through the curtain at night. Fucked your mama like a werewolf and a vampire, right? Fucked your mama like a unicorn and fucked her with the horn on her head. I fucked your mama, then I fucked your uncle's daddy instead. I fucked your family and I fucked your god. I fucked your mama till she had no body.
You guys can leave if you want
she
to.
Had no right to exist. And
you're
she
under
said,
no requirement to stay
safe. And I said, I'm fucking you because I wanna piss. I wanna piss on your face and butt. I wanna fuck you like my name was King Tut. Build a pyramid with unpaid labor to me. Honor me, I'm a god. I'm a god. This is Harmon Town. I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman. This is Harmon Town.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.